And this is week five, so we're going through Romans quite slowly, but we're going deep as well into the book of Romans. And Paul is talking to a church which is made up of Jewish people and Gentiles, non-Jewish people, people like us. And Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, Paul is teaching a way of life, the way of Jesus. It's a way where love is sincere, where humility is central, and enemies are treated with kindness instead of revenge. In verses 9 to 16, Paul gives practical instructions of how Christians should live. In verses 9 to 10, Paul says that love must be sincere, not for show. That we serve others not because we have to, but because we love them. We do it out of love. Verses 11 and 12 says we should be joyful in the hope of Jesus Christ. That should give us joy to enable us to be patient as we go through troubles. And through it all, we're to pray. And today we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14, just two verses, 13 and 14, about generosity and hospitality and how to be a blessing and not a curse. Verse 13 starts off with two commands. Paul is making two commands. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. So let's look at those two commands. First of all, generosity, verse 13. And if you translate this in the Greek, literally it says, contribute to the needs of the saints. Who are the saints? The saints are you and me, all of us here, all of us that are believing in Jesus Christ. You are saints. This is not dead saints. This is not saints of the old. This is us. Contributing to the needs of one another. And God is a God of love. And he's not stingy. And he's very generous. Love is not stingy. So we're talking here about radical generosity. An example of this is in Mark 12. Where Jesus sees a poor widow paying everything she has into the treasury, everything she has to live off. And this is generosity. Love is also practical. It's sharing what we have in our time and our resources. And we're called to support one another, especially our fellow Christians that may be in need. And Jesus practices generosity and compassion. An example of this is in Matthew 14. Jesus cared for people's physical and spiritual needs. He multiplies the bread and the fish and he feeds 5,000 people in the crowd. And in the early church, they were known for their care of widows and orphans and the poor. But they not just cared for their own, they actually cared for people outside their own community. People that weren't followers of Jesus, they still cared for them. Not out of charity, but out of mutual care. Treating others' needs as our own. And in Greek, this phrase, contribute to the needs of the saints, is the word koinonia. Koinonia, and it means to share in, to participate in, and to be part of a fellowship. This community is a family. We care for one another. We share with one another. We participate. But this here is more than just sharing out of our abundance with someone who's in need. This is sharing our love. This is serving others, which is the evidence of a transformed life in Christ. We're to show love to one another. God's goodness is revealed through his generosity of his people. His people. So we're to practice acts of kindness that reflect God's love to one another. And that's the first point. Be generous. Secondly, hospitality, verse 13. The ESV Bible says that we're to show hospitality. The Legacy Standard Bible says we're to pursue hospitality. The NRSV says that it's hospitality for strangers, someone you don't yet know. And this Greek word here, it implies a love for strangers. And if you want to see a gift of hospitality in action, she's not here this week, so she won't mind me mentioning this. You just have to look at Edwidge. She has got such a gift of hospitality. She is amazing. And some of us have experienced that hospitality. Rosario Butterfield says that hospitality is seeking to make strangers into neighbours and their neighbours into the family of God. And the early church were known by their hospitality and their inclusivity. They included everyone. They welcomed strangers. They welcomed travellers. They welcomed those who had been persecuted into their homes, those whose society had written off. They were welcomed into their homes. And you can imagine that they had house churches, and these gatherings were a really interesting mix of people from all different classes, that during the day there's a master and a servant, and on a Sunday they're brothers in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Here we see love invites others, those who are different. Love takes the initiative. It looks for opportunities where we can bless other people. Hospitality is making room in our homes, in our schedules, and in our hearts so that we reflect Christ to one another. And that's the second command, show hospitality. What is the significance of generosity and hospitality? Well, first of all, it creates a strong community, a strong family. And in the Roman world, relationships were formed and based on status and wealth. If you were the elite, you only mixed with the elite. If you were a slave, you only mixed with the slaves. And here in verse 13, there's a teaching about radical generosity over self-interest, inclusion over social hierarchy, and caring for the vulnerable. What is significant, secondly, is it makes faith visible through our actions. It shows that what we believe is not just internal, but lived out through generosity and hospitality. And thirdly, what is significant is it reflects God's love. In verses 9 to 12, there's an emphasis on love and humility and service for one another. Verse 13 is an example of love in practice, which still matters today. Verse 13 is about charity. It's about social responsibility and mutual support. Verse 13 welcomes outsiders and strangers inside, where we can take care of people in need together, and we make space for one another in our lives, and especially for those who have been left out. And in Romans 12, 9 to 21, is one argument that Paul is making. It's one long continuous argument. And verse 14 is right in the middle here. And it's a hinge to this argument. Before verse 14, Paul's talking about love within the community. Love in the community. And after verse 14, there's a shift where love is extended to our enemies. Thirdly, the third command, we are to bless those who persecute us. Verse 14 in the Amplified Bible says, we are to bless those who are cruel to us. Bless and do not curse them. And this includes those who oppose us and those who we find difficult to love. Bless and do not curse. And this word bless, it means that you're going to speak well of them. It's to invoke God's favour upon them. And curse means that you're calling down judgment on them. Don't curse, bless. And in the Roman world, and in fact today, you see it all the time in social media, the natural reaction is respond to something that's hurtful, that's something that's harmed us, with retaliation. Isn't that a case? But verse 14 calls for mercy rather than revenge, and grace instead of hostility. Bless and don't curse. This reinforces the idea that we don't just avoid taking revenge, but we choose kindness in our speech and in our thoughts and in our attitudes. And this, friends, is radically countercultural. This is countercultural. This echoes Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 about loving our enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And pray for those who persecute you. On the cross, Jesus responds to hatred with forgiveness. An example of this is in Luke 23. Jesus forgave those who were crucifying him. Isn't that incredible? Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing, he says. Instead of revenge, Jesus responds with kindness and prayer. And the early Christians were known for their non-retaliation under persecution. When they were persecuted, they refused to resort to violence. But they prayed for their persecutors rather than resisting them. Why was this revolutionary in the Roman world? Well, in the Roman world, honour was defended through retaliation. Somebody does something against your honour, you retaliate. That's how the Roman world works. In the Roman world, status is determined totally by birth and by wealth. If you were born into an elite family, you stayed there. You only associated with the elite. And enemies were defeated by fear and by force, not through loving them. Jesus' teaching challenges the social norms. It undermined the honour and shame culture that was present in that society. And it formed a church community by grace, not status. We are called to a way of life that reflects Jesus' teaching. We are called to graciousness that reflects Jesus' character. When someone talks about you, when they exclude you, when they hurt you, pray for them. Prayer is a strength, not a weakness. Prayer, God moves and fights for us. We are called to love. We are called to bless. We are called to do good. And we're called to pray for those who persecute us. And I was thinking about this. One of my friends on the WhatsApp group started a conversation about unforgiveness. He said, I'm dealing with some unforgiveness, and can you give us advice on this? It made me think that when I became a Christian, God put on my heart all those people that hurt me. And he asked me to pray for them for 30 days. And then he asked me to bless them. And I did it, but I kind of didn't want to do it, if you know what I'm saying. I prayed for everyone that had hurt me for 30 days and asked God to bless them. And I also prayed for all the people that I'd hurt, that God would forgive me and bless them as well. And do you know what? At the end of 30 days, any hurt in my heart had gone, completely gone. So if you want to be free of anger, if you want to be free of unforgiveness, pray for the person who's wronged you. Pray for God's blessing upon them. Pray for God to help them. This is hard, but it's hard to stay angry if we're praying for them. Amen? Bless and don't curse by refusing to return harm. This breaks the cycle of conflict. It de-escalates hostility, and it opens up the possibility of reconciliation. Bless and don't curse. This is a test of our faith, whether it's genuine or not. Anyone can love those who are lovable. That's easy. We can love our friends. But it's difficult to love our enemies. It requires supernatural love. It requires God's love. And we can ask God to give us that love, to pour into our hearts that we may forgive, that we may bless and not curse. Ask God. Only grace enables us to bless those who have hurt us and those who are mistreating us. Pray for them. And you know, sometimes in churches, Christians can hurt each other. Not always, they don't always know about it, but that can happen in churches. But nothing communicates love more than doing good to a brother and sister who have hurt us and refusing to retaliate. Returning good for evil goes against our natural instinct. But if we're in Christ, we have the power to overcome that. And in verses 17 to 21, Paul is going to expand on this teaching. That's going to be in a couple of weeks' time. We'll talk about that one. So in summary, today we've looked at verses 13 and 14. We've looked at generosity and hospitality. We've looked at how to be a blessing, not a curse. And for me, these verses, 13 and 14, this is a test of faith. The mark of a Christian is to love one another. And as I've been preparing this sermon, I've been thinking, am I really loving one another, each other in the church? Lord, convict me of where I'm not loving my brothers and sisters in Christ and give me the strength to love them better. So this is a test of faith. Why are we to love one another here? Why are we to love each other? It's because we share the same Father, our Heavenly Father, and we're in the family of God, and that's why we should love each other. And if we love each other, that's something different to the world. That's countercultural. And anybody that wants to be part of that is welcome. We're all following Jesus. We're all on our way to follow Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, come and join us. Come and join us on the way. We're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we love Jesus and we want to follow him. Come, you come and join us if you want to. We'll work it all out on the way. In verses 13 and 14, Paul's teaching is not new. It's Jesus' teaching. It's Jesus' teaching applied to everyday life in a real community, in this place, at this time. Jesus taught it. Paul explained it. And the early church tried to put it into action. And so should we. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here. Help us to love one another, Lord. Teach us to love as you love, to share with those in need, and to welcome others into open hearts, Lord. Give us the grace to bless, not hurt. Give us the grace to bless those that have hurt us and not to repay evil with evil. But help us, Lord, to reflect your kindness in all that we do. Lord, shape our lives so that we all look like Jesus. That when people meet us, they see you, Lord. Fill us with compassion and generosity, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints say, Amen. So be it. Yes, that's what I've been doing this week. I've been meditating on the Word of God, and that's what he's given me to share. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you at this moment for his Holy Spirit? I've got to work out if I've missed out any of our teams, and I think we've got a couple to go. I'm just going to ask Jono if he will come up and now talk about our teaching team and the Bible studies that we do in here at Sandy Baptist Church. Thank you again, my friend.